It is that time once again, time for Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. The Evangel Home, blessing women and children in crisis since 1955. Here's your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
Well, thank you, Ken Adams. Always
You're
glad
welcome,
to-
Jim.
There goes the surprise. Welcome to this edition of Heartline.
That's me imitating Ken.
And we are in Jerry Brenneman's office. Jerry, the director of all things Evangel Home. Ken Adams, who so graciously and skillfully introduces and closes the program each week, is our guest today. We got a lot of ground to cover, but Jerry, just what are your memories, observations? What comes to mind when you think about Ken and his involvement with Evangel Home and interpersonally? I mean, you've been down to his radio station, which we won't mention by name.
It's funny because I was thinking about that earlier. The memories of being on the radio go back to, you know, different people and different buildings and different shows. But Ken has been a constant for so long. He was invisible for so long as the introducer and the closer, but I didn't know who the guy was. And then when I began to talk with him, and I think probably the first thing that hit me was his wonderful sense of humor and his wonderful voice. Mm-hmm. It's just... and then through the years...
And his terrible puns.
And his terrible puns.
I think they're great.
But I think, you know, just our show, Jim, has worked very well in part because you come here, you get the feel of the home in this little office. But if we just left it here, it wouldn't make the first impression that it does, and it wouldn't be buttoned up the way it is mm-hmm. with Ken. So even though he might be sort of third or fourth on the totem pole in time with the show, in some ways he's on the top because he's the one that makes sure it works.
Yeah, to have someone who wasn't passionate about ministry, especially to the underdog, I don't think it would work as well. And Ken, obviously you've had a passion for the underdog all of your life. I want to get right to it. You've been dealing with cancer. And take us back to the beginning and where, when and where, and let's walk through that.
Whew. It's been kind of a lengthy journey. First diagnosed back in 2000, 13 years ago. And I basically investigated it, and of course they wanted to lead. The medical professionals wanted to lead with cut, burn, and poison, and I wasn't so inclined at the time. And so I adjusted it, made some lifestyle adjustments in diet, et cetera, and continued to monitor the situation throughout the years. And every indication was that the cancer, I sarcastically call it the cancer of choice for middle-aged males. Prostate cancer, mm-hmm. which you know one or two things about, Jim Tuck.
Yeah.
And but every indication was from the tests was that it was staying localized, it was not spreading, and I thought, well, okay, if it's staying localized, maybe I'll be one of those men who dies with instead of cancer. So I saw no need to take extreme measures. Well, as the years went on, complications, I finally had the surgery in 2010, the middle of the year. And that's when they discovered that the tests were not quite accurate, that it had mm-hmm. spread a little bit. Long story short, since then, it has metastasized. I've had like 56 rounds of radiation, hormone therapy for several years. And as we're recording this today, I'm exactly halfway through my 10 rounds of chemotherapy. I've had 5 rounds. I've still got hair on my head, Jerry. Isn't that impressive? And on my lip, it's barely there. It's not really growing anymore, but it's hanging on. It's kind of like a caterpillar in its last throes before it becomes a butterfly.
Oh, I can hardly wait to see
this. Pretty soon I can see the ponytail in the back as he loses hair on the top. It's getting longer in the back.
Yeah. Back in the 70s when I had the hair, I thought, you know, if I lost my hair, it would be really cool to have a Ben Franklin look, but I don't know. At 61, I don't know if I want the Ben Franklin look anymore. At least I can say I feel like $100.
Yeah, you feel like $100. Nice. I told you, folks. But I'm Ching. We're equally guilty of that, I admit. The chemo seems to be working.
It is working. And I'll admit that one of the reasons I held off on the surgery and everything, it was I think it was fear driving me, the fear of, you know, anesthesia, and am I going to die in surgery? Is it going to whack my brain out? You know, and I did have anesthesia for brain for about 6 to 9 months after the surgery. Chemo was the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to investigate other alternatives, but what they did the blood test and showed that the numbers, which should be near zero, were up in the 160 plus range, which was outrageous. It was at that moment I go, okay, you know, full speed ahead. Let's do chemo. I don't want to. Well, in the first four treatments of chemo, my numbers dropped by about 98% to the range that I'm in, the normal range right now. So at this point, I'm heading towards the remission stage, and that's the goal. So, yeah, it is working exceptionally well in my case, and I praise God for it. There are some side effects. Like I said, I had a nice face of hair, and it fell out. There's a lot of fatigue and everything. And I've been on medical leave since last July, because that's when everything started to get a little bit intense. So it's a very interesting season for this 61-year-old radio broadcaster.
Yeah, well, we rejoice with you that the numbers are down. And just as kind of an aside, those numbers can be misleading. When I was diagnosed with the same cancer, my PSA was 1.3, which is way, way low. No, what's normal, 4 or something like that considered normal?
I think 4 and under is considered normal for a man with a prostate gland.
Yeah. So, but, you know, let me just take this aside. Men, if you're of a certain age, get checked. Get checked. Mine was found with a physical, and I hadn't been to a doctor in 10 years. I would say
just get checked, but then get double checked, because sometimes if the numbers are high, it can be something as simple as, did you ride a bike 3 days ago? That can increase your PSA level. Something as goofy as that. So, yeah, there's a lot of investigation to do once you start down that road.
Yeah. Well, Ken, physically, the journey has been difficult, obviously. But you've had some emotional transition times in this process, too. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that would be a small way of putting it. I guess as we're recording this, it's the last day of April of 2013, and compared to a year or a year and a half ago, it seems like anything that seemed like there's no sure things in life. We know that. You know, God can pull the plug at any time and go home to glory, which is okay with those of us who know Christ.
That'd be better.
it'd be better. But anything that seemed like to be a semi-sure thing of a year or a year and a half ago has been completely turned on its head. And I'm talking about professionally, I'm talking about personally, I'm talking about, you know, the whole chemotherapy thing. And it's a really interesting time. It's a season of where I'm having to reinvent myself, and I don't know how to do that. And I go to God every day and say, okay, you know, all of these doors have closed. I'm standing in the hallway, and they just say, praise God in the hallway. Well, I've been in the hallway for a while. I'd kind of like to get out into the sunshine eventually.
Yeah.
So it is a major season of transition for me, to where I really don't know where I'm going next, or really in some cases what I'm going to be doing. But I know one thing. I know I'm not done. Some people say, well, I know I've run the race and I finished the course, I'm ready to go home to glory. And something inside of me goes, no, I've got a lot more I've got to do. I've got places I've got to go. I've got people I've got to meet. And I just don't know where or when or how that is. But I guess that's the evidence of things hoped for. I knew I'd mess it up with my chemo brain.
Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Hebrews 11:1.
Thank you. Yeah, so that, in a nutshell, that's kind of where it is. And I thank God for, I get to keep the connection with the broadcasting field, with Evangel Home at the very least. and I can keep my hands in it. I can work at my home studio and continue to distribute the program and hear the great things that God is doing here and being going out into the kitchen and hearing the program being recorded there. Just the buzz and the excitement and the activity, and just it's wonderful. It's just wonderful to hear the life in this place.
Yeah, I agree. It was a big thrill for me to come in there and see all this stuff going on and the sweet spirit of the stuff makers, the ones who were doing that out there. Well, Ken, I'm going to ask you a difficult question again.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, because you're in the middle, in the throes of all of this. I don't know how you're going to handle this, but what do you tell someone who is also going through this? Do you have counsel, or are you still asking so many questions yourself that you feel like you're more in need of counsel, how to handle it? Where are you in that whole ministry process?
It is a strange process because, case in point, and this is no secret because he's posted it on his Facebook page, Carmen, the contemporary Christian music star, several months ago, he was diagnosed with a very deadly form of cancer. Mm-hmm. One to where they gave him a 2 to 3 year lifespan, and he's come out swinging. But he posted something recently on Facebook that a strange thing that happens, and I've had it happen in my life, is people you thought that maybe would walk on the journey with you, I don't know whether it's subconsciously they think you might be a lost cause, but some people tend to drift away, and that's the time you need them the most.
Yeah.
You need him the most. You need friendship. You need companionship. So, I go back to Facebook. I do a lot of things on Facebook. I've got a lot of great friends on there. That has been a real blessing because I've been able to connect with people all over the world who are going through cancer, who have beaten cancer, and we are there as a team for each other. We encourage each other. And that is a real asset. That is a real blessing. The people that have been there have gone through it. And I'm an extrovert. I crave a sense of community, and so even if I'm stuck at home dealing with fatigue from chemotherapy, I can find a sense of community. You know, whether it's you, Jim, on Facebook, you, Jerry, on Facebook, and that's a real blessing.
All right. Well, thanks, Ken. We're out of time. I'm going to turn it over to you in just a minute to close out the program. But we've been close the past several months in your journey, and I wanted to provide our listeners with an opportunity to know how to pray for you. Hmm. So that's what I'm going to challenge our listeners to do. Add Ken Adams to your prayer list. It seems that God is using chemo to help him beat the disease and bring him into remission, and then he can get his physical health restored and going back to being more productive in life and ministry. Now we are out of time. Jerry, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you.
And Ken, thank you for sharing. And I'm going to turn this back over to Ken to turn this interview into another edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno, find them online at evangelhome.org. That phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. God bless you. Thanks for joining us this time around. We'll chat with you next time around for Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.